Good morning, everybody. My name is Don McMurray, and I am an alcoholic. And I want to thank Lillian and Joe for inviting me down here. But to be truthful, we tried several phone calls, and she said, well, we can get somebody else, I was hoping she would say, but that never came about. Because I had advised Lillian that speaking at an AA meeting is not my forte. I'd rather do many other things that I've done over my 24-hour periods in AA. And then to make this a little more interesting, I came down this morning with two other gentlemen of our fellowship. And I'm not so sure whether you're going to get one talk, two talkers, three talks here before I'm finished this morning. But I will talk this talk because I've walked that walk through alcoholism to you here in AA, and am now a recovering alcoholic thanks to all of you and to many of my friends throughout Canada and the United States. I mentioned Canada because you'll probably notice an accent. And I came into AA in Montreal some time ago. In fact, I came in on the first convention they ever had in Montreal. AA was 5 years old then, and Bill Wilson was the speaker. And that happens to be the day I had my last drink. After hearing him. And I'll never forget his prayer to St. Francis as he ended his talk. And you may hear more about St. Francis before I finish, because he's been running through my life ever since. I'd like you to know what type of person I am so you can follow along with me. Emotional, I was loaded with grandiosity, then the inferiority complex, then resentments, remorse, rebellion, hatred formed, and finally in my drinking, nearly to despair. I was born in the east coast of Canada and attended university there in the east coast. And then came to Montreal, where I married my wife, Margaret, who, God bless her, is still with me. And she went through 10 years of this alcoholic nightmare with me. And to know a little bit more about me, I'll set a couple of scenes for you. Involving that marriage and our children. In 1944, in the city of Montreal, which is about 2 to 2.5 times, or maybe 3 times larger than Atlanta, there was a tramway strike. Public conveyances were not easy to come by. Taxi cabs were out, everything had stopped. There was a big strike in this large city of Montreal. And picture, if you will, this lady carrying a little bag, walking to the hospital, to give birth to our second son. While I was at the Air Force Officers Club getting drunk. In fact, I did not know about that birth until the next morning when I was called from the hospital. Because when I came in that night, I never even looked to see how my wife was. Four years later, picture the Laurentian Mountains north of Montreal, 20, 25 below zero weather, and my wife and two young children were living in a ski shack without...
Can you speak a little louder, Mac, please?
Okay, only a minute. We're living in a ski shack without running water or electricity. And these ski shacks were available on weekends to those who wanted to ski. And I used to come up there on weekends from Montreal. And I recall one weekend we had to move because the party who had booked this ski shack, and believe me, they are shacks, and we had to get a team of horses to pull us through about 10 to 15 feet of snow in 25 degrees below zero weather. And I can recall using our overcoats to cover those children to keep them warm. Because you see, I had been drinking at that time around 15 years or so, more than that, 18 years, and we didn't have any money. That's why they were at the ski shacks in Montreal. We had no place to go. Well, I prevailed on friends to keep me in Montreal while I was trying to find a job. We went on from there, and we had some traveling to do in a job that I got, and we left the province of Quebec on the East Coast and moved into Ontario, and the drinking continued. I happened to have a job with a water-making company, and all of the workers, superintendents and what have you, were known for their great feats in drinking, and of course I tried to keep up with them, and this of course I could not do. So when it was time to leave this province of Ontario and come back to Montreal, my wife Margaret decided not to come back with me. And I thought this was great at that time. This was just what I wanted. But it didn't last very long. I did have a week or 10 days in Montreal on a spree. But then I pleaded for her return when I found her in Ontario with friends. And you know what she asked me to do? Yeah, to come back? She asked me if I would promise her that I would stop drinking. And believe it or not, that was a shock to me because I had no idea drinking was my problem. So we tried this, and I gave her promises. Promises, of course, that I couldn't keep because then at that time I was a victim of alcoholism and I couldn't stop drinking. And the finest thing that I thought that could happen to me at that time was that I could drink alone. because when I drank alone, I had dreams. Dreams of glory. And you know, I hated our house. I hated to go home. I couldn't stand the paper curtains on the living room. And the time came when the best defense was a rugged offense. And a chap who I'd worked with previously in the early war days came down to my house and asked me, had I ever heard of Alcoholics Anonymous? And I said, yes, I had, because I had read the Jack Alexander story with great glee. This must be happening to an awful lot of people. And it was too bad, but it couldn't be for me. And as he was talking, my wife Margaret, I could see a sort of a glint in her eye that there was some hope for those of us who drank too much, because Ted explained that he had been in AA for 2 years while we were away in Ontario. And he asked if I would go to a meeting. And to appease my wife, I said, yes, I would. And I did go. And I stayed in AA for about 2.5 months. Not listening too much, because I did go out and get drunk again. And that drunk lasted for 10 days. And that was the worst drunk I was ever on, because things happened then that never happened before, things that I did. Then Margaret left again with the children. And I became very lonely, as only we alcoholics know you can become lonely. And since I've been in AA, I have come to believe that we must experience this loneliness, because from there is no place to go but up. So I came back to AA. And the fences that we alcoholics build around ourselves started to slowly break down, and I was able to listen just a wee bit. They told me to keep coming, that I had a disease, and this helped somewhat when I knew that I wasn't a freak of nature. They told me I was only one drink away from a drunk. And I'd like to tell you that the first 6 months in AA were a struggle to get this program. And I was sitting one night, on a January night in Montreal, listening to a speaker. And he concluded his talk with a quote from the big book, in a chapter from you. And this is when I think I became as a child. Forget the great I am. Forget that paralysis of analysis of if this great me. was then that I think I started my program in AA. And if you care to, I'd like you to have me join me now as I tell you my program. His talk to me that night, and to others who were there when he finished, probably Virgil knows this man. He was the first man who had AA in Montreal. That's Dave B. And he said, abandon yourself to God as you understand him. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the spirit. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the spirit. In the fellowship of the spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. This got me thinking, I believe. The next thing that came upon me was when they told me, one day at a time. We used to have a chap in Montreal who was known, God bless him, he has gone to Verge. He had a group, and his name, as we call him, was Day by Day Hicks, and his group was called Day by Day. And he impressed on me this one day at a time. And what I tell you now are all of these things that I found in AA, which were said in AA by a speaker or at a discussion group, and have led me for further investigation into some of the things that were said. Because I told you I had to become as a child and to learn this way of life from A to C. You know, this one day at a time is something to think about. Fulton Osler expresses it this way. We crucify ourselves between two thieves. Regret for yesterday and fear of tomorrow. And not so long ago, this past spring, the spring of 73, while I have been recuperating from an illness, I attended many meetings and I've learned from the Al-Anons as well. And I heard one of our girls say one night, today is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to him. They also told me to fill the voids, to attend the meetings. And we did this. And we came to that point where most of us come to, where we're on the pink cloud. And I took my little boy for a ride one summer day after I was in, which is around 2 years, pink cloud time. And this is the land was our second son. In his vacation time, I took him for a ride with me on one of my business trips. And I happened to say to him, "Isn't it nice, Bill? No school, you can go for a ride, the sun is shining. We're together, we'll have lunch. And after I see that man, we'll have a nice ride home." Now, this lad was about 8 years old then. And he said to me, "Yes, Dad, it sure is. It's certainly much better than the time when Mommy took us in our pajamas and we had to walk through that alley in the gravel in my bare feet to get away from you. So we weren't long on the pink cloud." This sent us back to AA with much thanks. They told me to keep this program simple. It's simple, but it's not easy. And this I have tried to do. Keep it simple. And I would like to talk to you about some of the things that have kept me on the way with you in this way of life. There are key words that came to me in each of the steps. I will not go through the 12 steps, but I would like to talk about a few of them. In the first step, the words are powerless and unmanageable. I could accept these as they appeal to me, not as an admission of defeat, but a sweet surrender. In the second step, they talk about power, sanity. And of course, like I suppose many alcoholics, when they'd hand me the steps, I had glanced over all of them very quickly. And I had an idea what was coming after the second step with the word power in it. So I asked myself, what power? That power I had to hate? No, it couldn't be that. So at that time, I settled for the time being on that mysterious power that keeps my heart beating over 100,000 times a day. And for the time being, I held on to this and obtain some measure of sanity. Then came the third step. And there it was. The word God. As I understood him then. And here I withdrew, because I was afraid. But at the same time, I couldn't understand why I was afraid, because many, many times had I sat on the edge of a bed of a hotel room and said, "Oh God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me?" But I wasn't asking for help. He was not a stranger to me then. Then why was I rejecting him? I think I envisaged a God of justice, and I couldn't face his justice. Not when I considered the life I had lived, on my journey through alcoholism. Then a kind friend in AA said to me, "You're thinking of a God of justice, and his justice is not of this world. Why don't you find yourself a God of mercy and a God of love?" And I tried, and I did. And this permitted a merger of wills. Not so long ago, at a discussion meeting, and the gentleman who brought it up is here today, picked me up again on this. And it's all in the book. You ask God to relieve you of the bondage of self so that you may turn your will and your life over to his care. In those days before that, strange things began to happen to me. And I mention this, relieve me of the bondage of myself, to let you know that you can be strengthened no matter how many AA meetings you attend or for how many 24 hours you've been in this program. If we listen, but as I say, when I found my God of mercy and my God of love, strange things began to happen. There was an urgency for control of myself, and I found I must have this control, because without it, those old hatreds form and rebellion rages within. Now, too, a resurgence of hope. Hope, the opposite of despair. Despair, the will to death. Hope, the will to live. And you know, it is this hope that keeps us going when at times we become bored and feel that life is but a grind. It rekindles the urge for life. And it's no secret, but this hope is expressed in all of the 12 steps. The 12 steps can be said, they can be recited, and they can be studied. And I found that when I studied them, I could get more from them. And this goes on and on and on. Step five was very, very difficult. To tell my defects to another human being. Because I thought I carried a scar that no other person carry. And I was sponsoring a chap who was a captain or lieutenant in the police force of provincial police in the province of Quebec. Very brilliant man. And he was trying to make this program and one night it always seemed to be winter with lots of snow around when these decisions became out. We were sitting in the car and he told me that he didn't think he could make the program because he too had a scar in the defect of his character that he could not express to another human being. Now this was 2 years after I had been in AA. And as I listened to him, I finally got an opening and I said, why don't you tell me? I'm here, I'm an alcoholic. We're here to help each other. And you know, he told me what his scar was, that he couldn't admit to another human being. And it was exactly the same as mine. So this fifth step can be taken probably many times. But we must be careful on whom we select as that other human being. It could be tomorrow, it could be next year, or your next few 24-hour periods. You see, when we get here, we lost all those friends we thought we had, and we can't go back to those bars and tell them these defects of character. We have lost that life. We are now with people who are trying to live this way of life as it is prescribed for us in our Alcoholics Anonymous program. The word humbly in the seventh step was difficult for me to understand. Till I really had to go again and seek help from my sponsor, from Daniel Webster, and whoever, to tell me what humbly was. But you find it. Understanding. You'll find it in the writings of the prophets know thyself is to know thy position, your position in life. Then intelligently ask for the removal of shortcomings that are a detriment to my state in life. And of course, my state in life is that of a married man. And then there is the 11th step. Meditation. This is my personal communication with my higher power. Help me to do right. Help me to choose right. And this is what we seek in real prayer. We seek moral understanding when we say, Lord, show me what is right. And then we ask for moral fortitude. Lord, give me the strength to do what is right. I was in AA about 10 years, 24 hours at a time. And I went to receive a 10-year medallion back in Montreal. And there was a speaker there that night who had been in the program a short time. And he too gave me something to think about. He said, you know that meditation is suggested in 9 of our steps. Steps 1, 2, and 3 refer to our physical, mental, and spiritual welfare. The first half of all the other steps suggests meditation. The second half of each of these steps suggests action. That, of course, meant another study of the 12 steps. And you know he's right. Then in the 12th step, spiritual awakening. What is a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps? Spiritual awakening is having learned how to live, because life is a spiritual. And this means that life to me is no longer ashes in my mouth or bitter to my taste. And again in the 12th step, principles. What are they? More study. And I think they are the principle of basic truth, the principle of a fundamental belief, the principle of moral conduct, and the principle of honor. You'd care to check them? I think you'll find a basic truth in steps 1, 4, and 5. And the principle of a fundamental belief in steps 2, 3, 6, and 7. And the principle of moral conduct in steps 1 and 8. And the principle of honor in step 9. This principle of honor is a major endowment we receive from living this program. Fear and anxiety become lost to us as we live within the principle of a fundamental belief. And we find happiness guided by the principle of moral conduct. And all this to emerge from the chaos of alcoholism to find honor, such as you are honoring me this morning to be your speaker. We have followed the program of the 12 steps. Do we have problems? Yes, problems arise. And I was told in AA to fit a step and pray. Because other great men who were born and went through this world had problems too. And I'd like to quote from Cardinal Newman, who was reintroduced to me in AA. And apparently he had a difficult time while he wrote that beautiful hymn, Lead Kindly Light. And he turned to his higher power and said, Take thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step, enough for me. And then there are times, too, in this program, the thought comes to us, why me? Why have I been chosen to be an alcoholic? Why have I been chosen to try to the best of my ability to help other persons who have the disease of alcoholism? And I think I found the answer to that again from Cardinal Newman. And I'd like to read this piece for you. It's entitled, He Knows What He Is About. God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed to me some work to which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may not know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link in the chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending to be, if I do but keep his commandments. Therefore, I will trust him, whatever, wherever I am. I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. Nothing in vain. He knows what he is about. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirit sink, hide my future from me. Still, he knows what he is about. Now that we have lived this way of life, what happens to us? We have a heart full of joy. It's overflowing. What is it? I believe it's the same feeling that that chap had who came to us, who came to me when I first came to AA. You are imbued with the fellowship of the Spirit in this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I first came in this program, this little piece, which we call the AA Preamble, which Jerry read, used to be called What AA Says of Itself. It was then called AA for Beginners, and now we know it as the AA Preamble. And this has meant a great deal to me. It's not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. There goes my hatreds. I have no cause for quarrels. I have learned to love each and every one that I have met in AA. Because of these simply stated desires and goals of the fellowship, they constitute for us the serenity we spent a lifetime seeking. And it ends that exasperating search for equality. Meditating on these highest intents of the fellowship. There is an awareness of an exhilarating oneness. And so with a grateful heart, and with this joy of brotherly love which I found in AA, you seek the new man or lady approaching AA. Hold out your hand. Say, welcome. Tell them what we have to offer. Come. Follow us. But for all of this, we must have gratitude. Because as it tells us, as long as I stay grateful, I'll stay sober. And in our gratitude to a higher power, I like to think that I could express it in the words of the motto of Boys Town when I turn to him and say, he's not heavy. He's my brother. And so it was when I came that I sought my soul, but my soul I could not see. I sought my God, and my God eluded me. And here I sought my brother and found all three. Thank you very much.